Hey guys, we are We Have Thoughts, and you're listening to our special Conversations with Oscar series, where we are going to watch all of the Best Picture nominees and discuss. Typically, we watch TV on our normal episodes, but now we're going to go into some movie talk because we love some movies and we have thoughts, you guys. We have thoughts. Okay, so our first picture, I'm Crystal, and this is
Joy,
and I'm Anna.
Yes, sorry, I had a cough. So our first movie up is Black Panther.
Woo.
And it's nominated, it's nominated for original score, along with Best Picture, original score, original song, costume design, production design, sound editing, and sound mixing. So I think we all rewatched this because it had come out like
we watched it
a year ago.
Because it came out last February.
Yeah.
So we actually went to go see it together, didn't we?
I don't remember.
We saw it with Melina.
You saw it a second time with me and Melina.
That's right, because I usually see those with my brother.
Yeah.
Y'all went like opening weekend and I couldn't for some reason.
Yeah.
So yeah, we went like the next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys were so like Wakanda all week. And then we went and you guys were like, so what did you think? What did you think? And me and Melina just were like, it's all right. Like, meh. And you guys were like, what?
I mean, Melina. Like,
we're just kidding. Of course.
I thought that Melina would be like, ugh. Actually, no, I'm not. Why am I surprised? That's Melina anyway, though.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite Melina moments was during. I was sitting next to her. She goes, oh, he's so daddy.
Was it Winston Duke? Was it M'Baku? I think it was M'Baku. M'Baku.
I don't even remember. She's M'Baku like, oh, he's can. Just so daddy. And I was like, oh, my Melina. God.
M'Baku can back that ass up this way.
More than welcome.
M'Baku that ass up. That's what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, before Sebastian we continue, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I only have down 6 nominations. Is it 7?
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes.
And I think I missed best song. What's the category?
Original song.
Okay.
Do you have a synopsis, Anna?
Oh, God, no, I do not.
Oh, okay. It's okay. Well, I thought that's what you had written down. Sorry.
So let's just talk about general. Like, how do we feel about a Marvel movie?
A Marvel movie.
Which these movies are typically not Oscar fair. Like, not at all.
Last year,
they're like the stepchild of the movie business, basically.
Yeah. Last year, I tried not to laugh at my friend who was like, I'm just so mad because none of my favorite movies were nominated for an Oscar. And I was like, well, what movies did you want nominated? And she was like, I really think Thor Ragnarok and... Guardians of the Galaxy 2 should have been nominated. I was like, okay.
Cool story, bro.
No way.
No, but cool.
You try to step it up like 30,000 notches.
I was like, superhero movies aren't nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, they just don't do that. No. You know, it's just not a thing.
But
because it was a big deal last year when Logan was nominated
for
adapted screenplay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was.
That was the first superhero movie to break that barrier.
That is a good movie.
Wow, I forgot about that.
I think what sets Black Panther apart is that it's not just a superhero movie. It's an origin story and la 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 and whatever. But I think it's much more comparable to a Shakespearean epic where there's family drama, there's political drama.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
There's a lot of different things at play, like we're vying for the crown,
mm-hmm.
the family. Ooh, surprise, there's a child we didn't know of.
There's ghosts.
There's an ancestral plane. Like, this shit is so Shakespearean.
Yeah, it's so much deeper than just a Marvel movie. Like, yeah, he's a superhero, but I think what's really cool about this, too, is it's such a movement. Like, usually black films talk about how they were their past and how they were wronged and how, you know, all this stuff. But this movie talks about the future.
Yeah,
and how they
there was no, except for that brief moment where Lupita Nyong'o's character is with the African women,
mm-hmm.
there's really, and then briefly in the beginning, you can kind of see how Sterling
their
K.
History.
Brown's character is like living not in the nicest part of town. He's in like Oakland. Is that where
Oakland.
They're?
Yeah,
they're in Oakland. Those are the only brief instances where you see them not succeeding and
not
in power.
Thriving.
Yeah, and I thought that was beautiful.
So it's really great to see, you know, a group of people and have a positive outlook on their future.
Right.
I think this changes the game for black films as a whole because it's future. Here we are. Here we go.
Yeah.
That's great. I love that.
As Chadwick Boseman said last night, young black and talented.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. That was wonderful. Yeah, I think, okay, so I never watched the first two Thor movies because you guys were like, "That not worth it, whatever."
Yeah, oh, that first one was so bad.
But from what I understand of what they were trying to do, I think this is what they were trying to do, like make it sort of like, because they had, what's his name? Shakespearean.
Kenneth Branagh. Directed the first one or the second one? I don't know.
Either one. And so they were trying to make it like that with the brothers fighting and the family and the whatever, but it wasn't. This
it just didn't
hit the, it missed the mark.
So the opening scene, or the opening when he's telling him the story of Wakanda, I love that whole like sand, like it reminds me of that thing that you put your hand in, I don't even know what it's called, but it has like picos, and you put your hand in, like your hand's the shape of the thing.
I have no idea. It's an old toy with the little metal spikes. Right.
Putting it on your face.
It's so nasty. Yeah.
Or like try to do something naughty before your parents can see. Like, don't look.
I don't know what it is, but that's immediately what I thought of, because the way it's like rising up and down. Yeah, that was really, really cool.
I read that they were trying to mimic like the Wakanda technology with the nanites, and that it's just like the nanites are like building all the scenes and stuff.
So cool. But even what you said just a minute ago about it being an origin story. It is, but it's also not a traditional origin story. We're not seeing him be like the first Black Panther.
Yeah.
Which I want to know more about. Like, I want to...
Their history. Yeah. I want to know the history of Wakanda. Give me a class. I'll take it.
Give me a short film, you know?
Yeah.
45 minutes to an hour of just how Wakanda, you know, the vibranium getting there, and then them becoming the first king, becoming the Black Panther. Yeah,
like taking control of the tribes, and stuff.
Yeah, and how they became uniting Wakanda. Them. Yeah.
I feel like in a different time, a different director, that sand part in the beginning would have been the whole movie.
The whole movie.
You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. I was reading up on it because I wanted to know who was attached to it beforehand. Before Marvel had it like as a part of their Marvel thing, I think it was Wesley Snipes that was attached to it originally before he did Blade. Before he did Blade, he really wanted to get this movie made. He really wanted like a Black Panther movie. And because of the time or whatever it was, they weren't, it was like still too close to like the Black Panther movement, like the political group.
Oh, okay.
So that they couldn't, it wasn't just working out.
Yeah.
And so they couldn't get anyone attached to it. They couldn't really get it to a studio or anything. So they weren't able to make it. Which, I mean, that's unfortunate for him. And then, of course, now he's, like, past the age of, like, being able to be him. Mm-hmm. Anthony Mackie also auditioned for the role of...
Oh, yeah. I read about that. Which I think he's great as Falcon. Falcon is
I think
such
that suits him better.
It fits his personality better,
oh,
I
so
think.
Much better.
Yeah, 100%. Because I think something about Chadwick Boseman, naturally, he's, like, a natural sort of, like... leader, and then his acting in this was so
like
good.
Quiet and calm about him. Yeah, that Anthony Mackie, I don't think has like he's more of a flashy. Goofy and
he's a little more out there. Yeah, and Chadwick Boseman has that like sort of what is it? That introvertedness to him.
Yeah, he's very
in
stoic.
His acting. Yes, yeah, he's very stoic, and he's so good at that. Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of oh my God, I'm forgetting his name, but Queen Elizabeth's dad, how he reluctantly became king, and he was very, like, apprehensive about it, but he's like, I gotta do it, you know, and
because, you know, that's the...
Yeah, it reminded me of that. Mm-hmm. And I've been impressed with him since 42. That was a Jackie Robinson biopic. Yeah. He was excellent in that.
Oh, yeah.
That movie is, it's about Jackie Robinson, but it's just about, like, a year in his life. Like, on his first year on the...
It's not like his whole...
Whatever baseball team, I don't know.
We're not really sports people, guys.
I don't
guys.
Know. I just know Jackie Robinson's black and all. He's first.
and that's what's wrong with America, folks.
No, he's black and first. Sorry, is America. All that matters.
He's first. He was the first in baseball. Yeah, I don't know baseball. I've been to one baseball game.
What a bitch. Anyways. Yeah, so I knew that he was great. Because in that movie, he's a lot of the same. Because he's getting ridiculed and... things are being yelled at him that are not nice, and he's just very calm, cool, and collected, and he's like killing them with kindness, and it's a beautiful movie. So when I found out he was gonna be T'Challa, I was like, oh, okay,
excited,
this is gonna be good.
Did you guys know anything about Black Panther before Marvel took it over, like any of the comics? Did you know vaguely of anything of Black Panther?
Just a little very bit little, like, yeah, not a lot little. Because like my interest in comic books is pretty small. Like, I've not read enough to be like, oh, I like comic books. I just, if something comes up, I'll like look it up and be like, oh, look, that's cool. And but no, not really. Mm. Not enough.
Me either.
Sadly.
All of Marvel, I don't think I've ever sat down and read like a full, other than like a Sabrina comic or an Archie comic, I've never really read a superhero comic book. Mm-hmm. So what?
We just said the same thing at the same time.
Marvel, like, I'm interested in it, but it's not like, something I go hard for. It
speaks to you, yeah.
Like, same with DC. I enjoy them, but I don't. It's not something that, because when I love something, I like to know as much as I can about it.
Yeah.
As you all well know.
What?
Me?
Because your notebook is not at all themed by something. Yes.
If you heard last year, guys, you know what we're talking about. Shout out to the
It didn't win. The homies. So Anna didn't get her "Call Me by Your Name" tattoo.
Oh, that's right. No, I didn't.
Oh. But we're working on it. We'll still try to push this a little bit.
No. But okay, quick aside on that. Vulture has been posting those beautiful pictures again from Sundance.
Oh yeah.
And they posted a picture of Armie Hammer. And they're like, you can call me by whatever name you want. And I was like, yeah.
Vulture gets it. Okay. Oh my They're God. So good.
Yes.
Shout out to Vulture.
I love when they were in Oakland and like the king comes to visit his brother. The what's his name? Forrest Whitaker. Young Forrest Whitaker. Ooh. Is like, these Grace Jones looking chicks. And I was like, yes, bitch. They're Grace Jones. They're fierce. They will cut you. And they look amazing. I love their looks. I love how they molded them to be what. Okay, first of all, costume design. Is that one of the?
Oh yes, it is. Yes. They are nominated for costume design.
100% yes. Give it to them. They can win it.
Yeah, and I love. The thing about costume design, even the score, production design, I love how it does such a great job of mixing traditional African things with like futuristic African stuff. Like,
yes.
And it's very evident when they're walking in the marketplace. When you see like them and they have these cell phones and they're like all projection
all this
stuff.
Technology.
And then you see them like selling like little hand woven baskets and stuff. Like that's so interesting.
Cooking
to
meat
me.
On a stick. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I think
that they're living in both Africa, what we think of Africa.
Yeah.
But they're
what we've been so given to us. Know of Africa.
Yeah.
And then like the future that's way beyond anything that we can even imagine.
And again, it mirrors the past and the future all in one. The whole thing.
It's story-wise. That's just so
story-wise, music-wise, everything.
I remember reading this article back when it first came out in probably February. February 12th. It's in the New York Times by Carvel Wallace. I remember reading it then and I just looked it back up and took some notes from it. And he made a point to say, like, most popular speculation of what the future would look like was written by white men.
Mm-hmm.
He said he named Isaac Asimov, who I don't know. I need to look him up. And then Gene Roddenberry, who did great things with Star Trek. Like, he was so ahead of his time. But still, the white man was in power. And so it kind of projected the future as this power dynamic being forever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so opposite
of that.
So
different,
It's futurism, but with diversity. I thought that was just a really interesting point that he made, that most of our ideas of the future have been written by white men.
And it's so good that now there's space for that in Hollywood for us to be able to see those things.
So in the beginning when they leave young Michael B. Jordan. That makes me so sad because he was so young.
I know.
That scene of him walking back into the apartment, he's holding his dad.
Yeah, he looks like 7 or 8 years old, maybe.
That's awful. Like, I don't get. I mean, like, I understand, but like, he's a kid. Why didn't you bring him with you?
And just like explain to him, like, okay, well,
what was the excuse again? Like,
they wanted to keep Wakanda.
Because you know how they're closed off from the rest of society.
But
they don't
know
all their secrets.
But if they would have brought the kids to Wakanda,
he would have been
in Wakanda.
But I think maybe because he had maybe they didn't know where his mom was, and she might come looking for him, and so there was. Maybe
the ties are complicated, I guess.
Maybe that's why he was too scared to even chance it. So he just left. And that is so awful.
I know. Okay, so going into what should be supporting actor nomination for Michael B. Jordan.
Ooh, first of all, Michael B. is so fine. Him walking into that museum in the beginning, I'm like, Excuse me?
Oh, him walking into that museum was like peak art ho looks. Art ho for life. Yes.
Art ho.
So like his jacket, his fashion, his hair, everything was like art ho 100%.
He looked and I was good.
Like, ooh, sir.
He'd be looking
hello.
Good.
Hello.
Michael B.
Yeah, I was into the hair.
Yes. I love the flip. This.
Oh. Not that he doesn't look great always, but I was like, yes.
Something about the hair, I'm like,
ooh, he's so
it
daddy.
Like made you feel
what
things.
What is happening right now?
So, okay. So I was, as I was rewatching it now with a critical eye, I was like, okay, yes. My feeling initially was correct. Michael B. Jordan deserved a supporting actor nomination for this role because Michael B. Jordan, okay. As an actor, I don't feel that people enough have like taken him seriously as an actor, but he's actually been working and doing really, really great things ever since Fruitvale Station that he originally did.
Was he nominated for that? No, he never got nominated.
No, he never got nominated for that. And then whenever the first Creed came out, Sylvester Stallone got nominated for his supporting role.
But not Michael.
But not Michael B. Jordan. And so
Michael,
there was some...
Michael, like, we're friends. Michael. Hey, Michael. Hey,
MBJ.
Mikey, what's up?
Oh, my God. Gross. yeah, but he never got nominated for these other roles that he did. And I think that he's really been slept on for a little while.
I agree. Yeah.
So that's one of the roles that very easily could have been like, give him a supporting nod on there.
Especially since his character, you know, when he's explaining his reasoning for what he's doing, it's, I get it. Like, I understand where he's coming from.
Oh yeah.
You know? And I think anytime a villain can make you sympathize with him.
Yeah.
It's a testament to the writing and the acting. You know?
Yeah.
I think it's,
because it so easily could have been just like a caricature of this character.
Yeah.
Because it's not like it's the most innovative story we've ever seen. Like, it's not like we haven't seen a sort of the sort
like
of pattern.
Like you said, it's Shakespearean. It's something we know innately.
Right. This sort of pattern of a villain. Yeah. But I think that what he did with it was make us really be able to feel and sort of empathize with him.
Yeah, because he's so angry. He's so mad. And you know why.
And his anger and his feelings are justified.
He's like, hurt.
His actions are not justified, but his feelings for that are justified. Because rightly so, they fucked him over. Like, they ruined his life. Because
when he walks into the throne room looking all fine, he's walking and he's just kind of looking and like at the top of his eyes because he's mad. These are the people that left him. He is hurt. He is sad.
These are the people that killed his father.
His father. And they left him. His people, who should be his people, who take care of their own.
That's messed up, dude.
Left him.
So I feel for him. I mean, he's not going about it the right way, but I understand.
No,
like,
but yeah, you can. He had so many great, great moments. And I mean, when someone can do good acting and not even like talk, it's really great. So like you're talking about when he was walking into the throne room.
Yeah.
That was good. When he was walking into the basically just him walking. But like even when he was confronting the lady at the museum, I was like, yes. Yes. Truths everywhere. And actually it brought up I really like the story that they went with because it's the story of Black Panther, but it also has like real world consequences and real world reflections in it because
keeps it grounded.
I think it was
because if it was all this like this dream like Wakanda state, it wouldn't have felt clicked real. It would have just been like a fantasy film.
Maybe that's what makes it different from other superhero movies. This doesn't feel like a superhero movie.
It's not untouchable.
You know?
It feels relatable.
Maybe that is why. Because the fight is all internal and within Wakanda. It's not somebody's coming to Earth to destroy it and it's the Avengers got an event.
Right, it's not like someone who we don't care about. It's not like some random alien that I've never met before. Not that I've met Michael B. Jordan, but I would like to.
My friend Michael. My friend Mikey B.
But because, like, with the artifacts and stuff that he was talking about, yes, a lot of cultures have lost a lot of very precious...
That you stole.
One-of-a-kind,
you know,
stolen artifacts. Like, all of the Egyptian artifacts should still be in Egypt. But, of course, everybody in England and blah, 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 wherever they want, they all took them. So, like, years ago, I think it was... Not to get too political in here. But back during when the U.S.
Never.
The U.S. was at war in Iraq and something internally happened. And so they destroyed one of the art museums, or one of the archaeological museums. And so all of these artifacts gone forever. And so they were like, you need to pay us back for the things that you did. And that unfortunately never got resolved. But like, it's the same thing here. Like, he's technically Wakandan, and this shit in the museum is technically part of his culture. Again, going about it the wrong way, but I understand why he wants to do that.
Yeah. He's hurt. But anyways, also, Andy Serkis is great.
Andy Serkis, where is his Oscar? Where is his Oscar?
He should have got a nomination for playing all those monkeys, okay? Are you kidding me?
For Planet of the Apes.
Are you fucking kidding me?
It still blows my mind, and I still think it's utter bullshit that he wasn't nominated for Lord of the Rings because he wasn't that on too. Camera.
Yeah, that's some shit. Like, he was literally, it's motion capture.
He created this thing.
The whole reason that exists is because of him.
Ugh. Like,
and how is he not acting? He's doing the same movement. His voice is there.
In 15 years, he's going to get a special Oscar.
He better, because I'm going to...
For
bitch, all I will fight someone. Done. I will fight
he
someone.
So,
there better be, like inaugural Oscar, like, award thing to be, like, anyone, whoever works in that sort
like
of...
Like a lifetime achievement or whatever. Yeah. And even, like, when he's not Gollum or
even when we can actually see his face.
What's the monkey's name? Caesar. Damn it. I'll say Oscar.
Caesar's Helen.
Caesar. He's so good in this. I think he's so great.
Yeah, because I'm like, that doesn't look or sound like himself.
He's
fucking crazy.
So good.
But like in a great way. He like loses himself in a role, and I love it.
He's fantastic.
Back to costuming.
I feel like he'd be a great guy to have a conversation with.
Right?
Let's invite him to a party. He would be the party.
Yo, Andy, bring Mikey B and come on over.
Oh my god,
bitch, we would die.
Also bring Danai and Lupita.
Oh my god, please bring Danai, please.
Oh my god, yes.
And just okay.
And right. Chadwick Boseman, please.
My emotions. Also Sterling K. Brown, bring him too.
Just bring the whole cast, please.
The whole cast. Cast party at our
bring
house.
Bring the crazy rich Asians Black Panther cast.
Yes, crazy rich Black Panther. Crazy rich Asian Black Panthers.
Yes, yes, that's yes, 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 yes.
Bring
yes,
them
yes.
all.
Hashtag yes.
Henry, I'm available.
The queen's headdress, I was watching video, it was 3D printed, and it the reason why they were able to get it so intricate and stuff. So they like digitally
so
made
awesome.
It and then 3D printed it, and I was like, holy shit,
because
actually Tony does some of the 3D printing,
Tony.
So I'm like, oh my god, like that's the potential of what it could be. And there's some other designer, I don't know if she worked with them, but there's a designer that was specifically working in 3D printing clothes.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was these big beautiful sculptural pieces.
Isn't that what Homeboy on Project Runway did, the one who was deaf? He 3D printed sound waves for his friend.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah,
wow.
It reminded me of a more elegant version of what he was trying to do with the hot glue gun, where Nina said it looks like a frothing vagina.
Oh, that one.
But no, he sculpted out really awesome pieces for his final, he was in the finale, and he 3D printed them to look like sound waves or something.
That's
like
amazing.
That.
That was really cool.
I remember so I'm that. Like, the fact that we're pushing fashion, we're pushing technology here to make this for a movie that is clearly pushing everything, like they really have gone all out on all parts of this movie.
I'm gonna say this, and I don't want it to be taken the wrong way. I think Black Panther coming out at this time was perfect, because if it had come out any earlier, we wouldn't have had the visuals and the effects that we did.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to say like the cultural movement should have, you know.
This
doesn't. This shouldn't have been such a landmark movie. Right. Is what I guess
we
I'm
should have.
To say.
This should have come a long time
ago. This should have happened.
Wesley Snipes should have made his movie back when he wanted to make the movie. We should have had more movies like this 100%. A long time ago.
But I'm glad this waited until now.
Yeah, I
also,
think
like,
it
I
has such
the,
a
the atmosphere of like the world and people's. They're not afraid to speak out now as they were.
Yeah,
they're not afraid to be themselves, and just in general, not just Black people, but everyone. And it's easier to be yourself.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's a perfect time for it. You know.
For sure.
Okay, so let's talk a bit about Ryan Coogler, because I think
his
direction was excellent. I've only really seen Black Panther. I haven't seen the other Creed movies and the Fruitful Station.
I didn't realize that he did Fruitville.
Mm-hmm. That's his first movie.
Yeah.
So
he's like 32.
Him and my boy Mike B have been hanging out for a long time.
Yeah, that's what I think Ryan Coogler mentioned that in the director's round table. He was like, oh yeah, me and Michael B. Jordan have been working together since my first film.
So he's never made a film without him.
Also, like, I think people don't realize that he's
my muse.
He's
too.
Made three movies and they've all done critically well.
Critically well. Critically acclaimed. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And his first film was Oscar, and he got attention.
Sundance. I remember that was all over Sundance
everywhere.
That year. All
yeah.
over the place.
Yeah.
And I remember them saying he was so young. He's this like prodigy, whatever. I'm so excited for his career.
Yes.
Going forward.
He's
going
to have a nice, long
career. Yeah, because he's so good.
He's established himself clearly as being amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah. Just,
like, I'm thinking about certain shots that he had, like, whenever T'Challa's going into the battle to, you know, who wants to fight me to be Black Panther. The pan up the mountain, you see all of the people ready for watch him to fight. Or when Michael B. Jordan is walking
the waterfall, you mean?
Yeah, waterfall.
Oh,
when
yeah.
Michael B. Jordan is going into the throne room to take the throne, the camera's
the
upside
camera,
down. It slowly
yes.
turns out.
Yes.
So good.
That one really
so
stood
good.
Out to me when I was watching because I was like, in any other movie, this wouldn't make sense, but it has to make sense to the story.
Yeah.
And this is like, he's taking over. He's going to change everything that Wakanda is.
Yeah, he's flipping it on its head.
Literally.
Also, the whole casino scene.
Yes.
That is so fantastically directed. Like,
seriously.
That long, I cannot get out of my head where he's down here with
on the first floor.
T'Challa, and T'Challa jumps up and he jumps up there
and
with Nye and he's
with
like, getting
the camera
her, like,
and yeah.
And Nye throwing her wig.
Girl.
Oh. Girl.
Girl, girl, girl.
Girl.
Oh, my God.
Oh my
needed
God.
To be done.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yes.
But what?
I love
that.
Her.
Throw it in your face.
Also, I love that she's a general. She's the general.
She's so fucking badass.
She's a fucking general,
I loved her.
Bitch.
I've loved her for so long, but watching
Same
her in this,
sees.
I was like, this
yes.
is right? who you are.
This is
yeah.
what you deserve. This is the role you
yes.
deserve.
And then
everybody should bow at your feet right now.
Although, yes. I don't quite understand her relationship with homeboy.
Santa Kluya?
Yeah. I did love
oh,
that scene at
the
end.
The movie.
Yeah, where he's like, you would kill me, my love, and she goes, for Wakanda?
Without question.
Yes, like.
Yes! Yes, bitch, because she's a loyal
bitch.
You are
not that important.
No, her country is more important.
First of all, he also turned on T'Challa, like.
Yeah.
And
there's
no
repercussion for that. Is he, like, going to get in trouble? Is he going to put in time out? Like, I don't understand.
I know that him and T'Challa were, like, giving themselves, like, they were giving some looks at the end there. And I was like, ooh,
I
want to know what happens. I
think Black Panther needs to address that because.
Yeah.
He doesn't make an appearance in Avengers, did he?
No.
No, no. So he's probably in jail.
Oh, yeah. Because it's M'Baku who's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God.
So fancy.
I love, yeah, back to the casino scene. The black, red, and the green.
Ugh. Get out.
Yes.
Get out. It's amazing.
Yes.
It's
From
little
that,
subtleties
it's,
like that that you don't even think about.
They really
so
thought
smart.
This whole so thing smart. Through. And that really, I think, when a director puts time and care and effort into something to compose the shots and have
yeah.
the costume work together and the story work together,
I think
that's when you should be nominated for a Best Director Award.
Same
with
when he knew the weight that was on his shoulders with this.
Oh, absolutely.
And he took the time to do it right. He
right.
didn't rush it. He didn't, like, pander to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He did the work.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
It
he did the work.
Yes.
Like when
he did his homework.
Jabari tribe is coming out of the mountain. They're coming out of the
oh
dark, and you
God,
see that like
so
white
good.
Face that they have. And
yes.
they're like,
yes.
oh, they're into it. That's another great shot.
And
it's,
that
slow motion.
The
yeah.
shot and the chanting
so
and the atmosphere.
You're like, what is
that?
And then you
was
see
like
him come out.
So well put together.
So good. So good. So good. So good.
Honestly, why is Ryan Coogler not nominated for a director?
Yeah,
award.
He's, they need to stop sleeping on him. That's enough.
I'm upset.
I think in a second, whenever we're done, kind of going through the movie. I have some general awards
oh, yeah.
qualms to
oh,
address.
Yeah. We're going to address
yeah.
this shit.
Girl. Same season.
We got,
okay,
we got 8 episodes to address this.
Okay, so another thing I wrote, there are so many beautiful people in this movie. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Martin
talk
Freeman,
about,
I love you so much. Oh, my God.
Talk about
I love you
literally
so
like.
So many beautiful people.
Putting
That's
the most
there.
Beautiful cast together. This one, yes. Yeah.
I appreciate that Claw wanted to play music while they were drumming away. It's like, turn something on. We're not at a funeral.
Yes.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, that's me. I love that there's always the, I'm not sure if they're drums, but there's always that subtle beat underneath
mm-hmm.
whenever something is starting to happen. That like precursor to action or
it's kind of
you know.
It's reminiscent of like when they used to have a drummer boy going into battle to count the marches
yes.
off.
Yes.
It's like that.
That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't, like I said, I don't know anything about these instruments or what they used, but it sounds like drums, that, those beats that are like coming in right
before. And with the score too, like it's, again, like we said, it mirrors the past and the future. You have the drums, the traditional African drums mixed with like a trumpet, the fanfare. He's the prince. He's walking in. Like it's so.
It's so good.
It mirrors all
great. I wish I paid more attention to score in films like this, because in films like If Beale Street Could Talk, where the music is so prominent, like it's there's quiet scenes, so the music has time to
shine,
yeah, to really shine. Or in like Dunkirk, when it just stands out that the ticking is like it's inside of you.
Yeah, oh, that was.
But
so
in
good.
Films like this, I tend to not pay super attention to the soundtrack.
And there's a lot happening.
Well, a lot of times with these, they don't have soundtracks that are that memorable. Or that distinctive.
That's true.
So, like, this one, there's a really basic action movie soundtrack that they have, so it's not really.
They just
that
recycle
different.
It.
Yeah.
And so that's why, like.
But they actually cared about this one, so they really worked on it.
Yeah, that's why I listened to score separately, because I watched the movie and then listened to it separately.
I need to do that.
I think it enriches the experience, honestly.
Like I said, I only tend to do it with ones that stick out. Like.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's another one that's like, not. This is so random, but Eddie the Eagle has a great score.
Really?
If you ever listen to it, because it's a movie set in the 80s. And it's all original score. So it's like movie, it's like music he made that would have been in the 80s.
That's so,
it's so awesome. Interesting. Yeah.
Okay. Let's.
Also, okay. Another thing. Michael B. Jordan just shot that girl that was supposed to girlfriend like nothing. Damn.
He
the what girl?
His girlfriend.
That helped
like
him
the little fling thing he had. Yes.
Like nothing.
That's when I was like, oh God, ooh, I'm scared.
He's
not playing.
He's business. He's not playing. Like it was all whatever it was until then, but. He's on his path.
Yeah. Oof, and nothing can stand in his way. I want to. Is it? No, it's not. But cinematography real quick, because the cinematography was really well thought out and really well planned with this. I really like that Ryan Coogler, they let him bring in all of his own people that he's worked with on his other films and stuff. So he brought in Rachel Morrison. Who was nominated last year for Mudbound for first female cinematographer. And so she did this and I'm like, oh, I really like what she's doing here, because she has quite a bit of range, because Mudbound is a completely different film from
this. She did Lemonade too, didn't she?
Lemonade?
Beyonce's Lemonade, I believe.
Did she?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, her body of work is very excellent.
She's really, really great. I really like her. I really admire her. Yeah. I think she's very talented. I think
Does anybody know where they filmed this?
Atlanta.
Everything's in Atlanta.
It's cheap.
Yeah.
It's true. Let's move to Atlanta.
That's where Marvel is, right? That's where.
Yeah, that's where they're based out of.
That's the newest place to shoot. Like, I remember all the Hunger Games movies are in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Because
that house is in Atlanta. Yeah, the mansion.
The mansion is
President
there.
President Snow's mansion. Yeah. I just read it.
Also, the fact that, I guess in that regard, we have to give props to, like, Kevin Feige and all his producers for letting them, like, for not meddling, for not getting in the way.
Yes, for understanding that
other studios, lesser studios would be like, oh, change this.
Because really, like,
They knew.
I don't think that they, if they had fucked up that bad, like, it would not be good. It would not be good.
They
like,
knew it would probably ruin
Marvel.
Future Marvel.
Yeah, because they knew they would be alienating a lot of people
by
not treating this with the respect that it deserves.
Yeah. One thing that I find so interesting about Marvel is I was, after the latest Avengers came out, I did kind of go down a bit of a rabbit hole and I watched a bunch of stuff and all that. But they were talking about how continuity between all the films, and Kevin Feige was like, no, we just let the directors do what the directors do. So I'm like, that's so interesting how in Civil War, Black Panther had this tone and this feel about him, and it carried over. Like, it was still the same in Black Panther, but Ryan Coogler had nothing to do with Civil War.
So I think in that regard, the characters, it's the actor's choices. Like, the actor, since they're playing them both, and obviously in both movies, they are the ones who make those choices, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's very, like, I like that whoever comes in to direct a Marvel movie has respect enough for what Marvel is.
Yeah.
That they're not going to be like, we're going to fuck this up.
And the ones that
except
don't
for,
leave, they're weeded out.
Don't, yeah, they
or they,
out.
they they totally turn it and make it right, like Thor Ragnarok. They were like, let's take this awful franchise
and they make it worthy.
Amazing. Make it the best, one of the best Marvel
movies.
Taika Waititi,
hello.
Shout out Taika Waititi.
He's so great.
When is he making another film? Please let me know. Well, we'll watch
He's actually, I don't know if you've ever heard of his movie, What They Do in the Shadows. It's like a comedy about vampires with like Jermaine Clement.
No. I've heard that
They're making it into a TV show on FX, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah, and he's going to be like producing FX. The TV show. So,
interesting.
Is his name still being thrown out there for Guardians 3?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything
else
about
that. Last I heard, that was a while back. But
I don't know. I mean, I'd be okay with that. It's space, so works for me.
I really like their establishment of the five different tribes when they were going into that waterfall scene where they were all coming up on the river. And then, I mean, because that was not even that long of a scene in the whole movie, but you got a feel for exactly what the tribes were, the differences in the tribes. And it was just like,
again, I would like further seconds. Explanation.
Yeah, I want to know, what are they?
What is this tribe all about?
I read.
What are their feelings?
I had, I pulled up an article that has like an explanation of all the different tribes. It's going off of kind of what Ryan Coogler built and then a little bit of what the comic books have.
Okay.
They should, so, I'm sorry, they should totally do a Wakanda TV show on Disney Plus, the streaming service.
I wouldn't. Why does that feel like that might happen? Like, has that been announced? Or am
no,
I just
but
seeing
it totally
into the
should.
Future?
No, oh,
you're
no,
the
it totally should.
Speaking of,
oh my
you've
God,
spoken
oh my God,
into existence.
My God.
I can see it
it's
being
happening.
Like a cartoon, like an animated.
I'll take that. Like, kind of like, the Star Wars.
Star Wars Clone Wars.
Clone Wars, yeah. I would watch that shit.
That
like
would
crazy.
Be so cool.
It would be cheaper.
To
that way,
you
don't
it?
Have to just, I mean, all the voice actors, that'd be great. So I'll watch that, and then I'll watch the Falcon.
Falcon and Bucky.
The Bucky show, and the. What's his name from Rogue One? Excited. Diego Luna?
Diego Luna.
What's his character's name?
Diego Luna.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Diego Luna.
I'm about to get this Disney Plus then. That's fine.
Shit.
Whatever. You know what's funny is M'Baku and Martin Freeman's height difference. It's so cute.
Martin Freeman.
He's so adorable. I love him so much.
M'Baku is literally like a tree.
So now that we're talking about Martin Freeman, I love how his character is, he's capable. He doesn't get in the way. He's helpful. He understands where his place is.
Yeah.
You know, this is he wasn't like, oh, I'm going to show you how it's done. Blah, blah, blah. He didn't come in and like, you know, colonize, as she says.
He obviously knew.
That's my new favorite insult. Like, oh, and my new favorite insult is, oh, colonizers.
Like mouth breather. Colonizer and mouth.
Yes.
Anyway, but I think the second he saw their technology, he was immediately like,
"Oh, I'm nothing here.
I'm not worth it."
But again, a lesser movie, lesser script would have been
He would have been a bigger character.
I was a pilot and the blah blah blah. It would have been, you know,
I can do this. I don't need her help.
But exactly.
But I loved him stepping up and doing what needed to be done. And when she was like, "Get out," and he was like, "No, I can do this.
Yeah, I can do it because I was a pilot. I know what I'm doing." Like, I love that. It was so good.
There's so many quotable parts of this movie, and there's so many things that like ring true just in like real life in general. But I like when his, I think it was his father that told him in the ancestral plane, he was like, "It's hard for a good man to be king."
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah,
I think it was either his father or what's her name? They were talking up on the mountain or something.
Yeah, I think it's his dad.
I think so. I just saw this the other day.
That's a great line. Because it is. It's true.
Yeah, because you have to make hard decisions. It's not easy. And he literally in his hands, he has the future of Wakanda.
Yeah.
He is going to be the deciding factor into
that's a lot of pressure, man.
Where they go in the future.
Yeah.
So.
But also really exciting for the next one, because that's kind of where they ended the movie, is how is Wakanda, you know, coming out and exposing themselves a little and and helping out in the world? Like, what is that going to look like?
How is that
going to
affect the world? Yeah.
I just want to know what that's going to look like.
Yeah.
Like
what is that? What is that refugee aid going to look like? What is that place in Oakland going to do for the community?
It's like she says in Infinity War, like, I thought we were getting a Starbucks or like the Olympics or something.
Yeah.
I would like to see them in the Olympics. Okoye is going to win everything.
Oh, my God.
Gold medals for Okoye.
Shot put and javelin throw.
Yeah.
She's going to beat the White Walker from Game of Thrones.
That's who we need.
That's who we need. She's gonna, she's gonna do
she's
it.
She's gonna save us all. I think, arguably, the best line of the movie is "Just bury me in the ocean with my ancestors that jumped from the ships because they knew death was better than bondage.
God.
Yes. Wow.
I remember wow. him saying that in my like, it, wow. like,
right?
It was like a slap.
It was like oh. damn. Ooh. Like we,
I think I did that in the movie when I watched it the first time. Yeah. Oh,
cause like we're here oh, for God. Black Panther. We're here for the superhero movie, but also like we're going to get hit in the face with some truth here.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
And that like, is. Damn. Thank you, Ryan Coogler.
Also, best adapted screenplay. Should have been nominated for that too.
Why? Again, why? Because,
I mean, the other stuff.
Best adapted.
I'll take. Well, I've seen 4 out of 5 of the adapted screenplays. So I don't. And I've never watched a Joel and Ethan Coen movie ever. So I don't know.
I can't remember if I have or not.
Me either.
I don't know.
But I know the rest of them are pretty good. So, I mean, you could have put it in there.
Another great line is, it's like a Bugatti spaceship.
Bitch, give me one of those. Also, really interesting. I didn't realize it was 1992. I was living in near LA in 1992.
Oh, my God. You were there.
I probably saw the Bugatti spaceship as a child. I was like, ooh, pretty lights.
And I was being born.
I was already alive.
And well into childhood.
Yes.
One more thing. Visually, the lighting, I think I've mentioned this before because I started watching Insecure back a couple of months ago. Lighting and how it falls on people's faces is so important, obviously. But like to know how to light people of color, to know how to light black people.
That's a skill, man.
Because Nakia's face when they were in the truck when she was with the other tribeswomen, and you just saw like
her
face. She was glowing.
Yeah.
Her skin was moisturized. She was beautiful. She was shining.
She was sweating.
She was giving me life. Like the moonlight on her face.
Yeah.
Bitch. The lighting, whoever did this lighting, thank you. You did this correctly. You didn't make everybody look weird. Wow.
Yeah.
Fun wow. little story about that. There's a new Broadway show called Choir Boys. And one, I think it was Broadway Box. It's this company or whatever. And they gave one of the guys in the show took over their Instagram stories for the day and was like showing everybody behind the scenes and what he does during the day. And he goes, I was going to take my phone backstage, but we're all black and you ain't going to be seeing, you can't see any of us. So I'm not going to do it. He goes, so I'll just tell you some fun stuff.
Oh my God.
I think it should be, I think just for film or photography in general, you should be required to know how to light people of color or people with darker skin. Like that's if fair. You don't know how to do that, you're not a photographer. You're not a filmmaker. Like, you suck. You should be able to know how to do this.
That's
the
fair.
Majority of the planet yeah. looks like this. You should be able to do this.
One of my favorite
period
things I saw on Facebook in the recent period. In recent years is that family that took pictures and their photographer didn't know what they were doing. So when they were editing them to get the shadows out, they
oh,
like
yeah. Oh no, that was so bad. Have you ever seen that?
It was.
No.
They looked Joy. Like. Good it's soon people. Oh God, I'm gonna see if I can find
it's like white with like line. It's so bad, girl.
Really?
She's gonna look for it, but I keep talking. So
bad
I
photographer.
I was thinking about this and I was like because I think someone had mentioned it on Twitter and I remembered it. They compared T'Challa. T'Challa is to Killmonger as like MLK is to Malcolm X.
Oh,
you know? right? And I think they compared him to MLK, but I was like, oh, Malcolm X would be the Killmonger part of that. How they're fighting a similar but going about it different ways.
They want
justice, and they want
justice, but there's two different manners.
There's two different ways to go about it.
Yeah.
And so T'Challa and Killmonger are MLK and Malcolm X.
Damn, yeah. that's intense. Oh jeez,
it's so bad.
It's I so found the bad. Pictures. It's a nightmare scene. That's,
please don't show me that ever again. I'm gonna see that forever.
The photographer was like, "Oh, my professor never showed me how to use Photoshop."
They bought those photos, by the way.
Bitch, no.
And she posted them on Facebook. It's like, look, she knew they were bad, but I don't remember what she said about it. But
yeah, but I
love yeah, that. It was so.
Okay.
Google bad Photoshop family.
Jesus Christ.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's.
And it's.
I feel bad for everybody involved.
Wow.
So. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, another thing about the score, I forgot. So I like how they use different instruments for the, for like, it was because, you know, again, how they're marching and they're whatever. It's always, there's always through the music, it's a steady beat, whether it's a drum or a chant or the way the music is hitting the crescendos every now and then. Like, it was so throughout. It's very good. I loved it. Mm-hmm. So good.
I have moments where I feel so extremely untalented.
Every day,
bitch. And watching Black Panther.
It's 99.9% of the time.
Shout out.
It's only that sick. 0.1% is when I'm in the shower and I hit that note real good when girl. No one's home.
Girl, same.
That I'm like, ooh.
That was me today singing a Star Is Born soundtrack.
I got this. What am I doing here? I got this. It's been,
I think about that.
I should
I'm
be
like,
on the Broadway.
I'm coming, Broadway.
It's like when the music really loud. I'm like, did I hit the note or did I just hear her note in the song? Either way, it's great.
Either way, I'm wonderful. But it's watching movies like this and, you know, they're doing the Wakanda arms and then they're, like, shaking their shoulders. I'm like, I don't think I could do that. Like, I look stupid doing that. Why can't I move my shoulders like they do?
How do you do it?
Is it like I don't know. I'm just so, I'm terrible.
Bitch, every time I hear the soundtrack, I just want to start, like, dropping it low, popping it.
I'm like, am I doing this? Is this it? Is this it?
I won't look as cool as General Okoye, but...
Well, no.
You know, I am 100% here for this representation. I'm very, very happy that this film exists, that we get to enjoy it, that we're watching literally Black excellence.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm wow. Yeah. I'm honored to be in your presence. And by in your presence, I mean you on the TV and me on the couch.
So how do you think this will fare at the ceremony?
So...
It won the SAG Award.
It did win the...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It won the SAG Award.
However, I don't think it changes its chances the night
I
of.
Think honestly, it, I think okay.
So Joanna had talked about this the other night. Like,
we did?
This well, vaguely, a little bit. Because they changed the voting body.
Right.
There's a lot more movies nominated who would normally be nominated. The landscape has changed, you know.
Right.
If it was 2-3 years ago, Green Book and... I forgot. Vice would have been like the only
first
two.
Man or
first Man would have been in there. Would have been clean cut. It would have won already. But you know, and it's more evident in the directors. You know, there's three
foreign films
nominated for best director. And I think because of the international voters that they added into this. You know, they're seeing it's not just about America and America, what America has to offer. It's worldwide.
Right.
You know, they opened up the gates for everyone to be nominated and noticed. And I think, will it win? I mean, I think what makes it so exciting is we don't know. You can make a case for any one of these.
It was the same thing like last year. Like last year we were like, so I guess this one?
But even more so now because it's so open.
Because they're so different.
Yeah.
They're so different. You can't even like,
so
it's hard to pick two to like pair and compare to. Because I was thinking about that. Like
when I was thinking about
which of these would like, can you really compare them? Like, and you really can't.
They're very diverse.
I mean, compare them on a very vague surface level.
Yeah.
Like, Bohemian Rhapsody is about a singer and A Star Is Born is about a singer. And that's about all they have in common. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot that you can put together there really.
So I guess we can go in and start talking about just general
awards
chatter.
Yeah, since this is our first Oscar conversations
with Oscar,
we can kind of get the general stuff
since
out.
Since now we're BFFs with Oscar.
Why are there not 10 nominees and only 8? I hate that.
That is always such a waste.
Okay, go ahead. But
I am feeling so unfucking motivated about this award season.
Really?
Like, I don't know if it's my... Because it's been such a weird one. Like, out of nowhere, Green Book and Bohemian Rhapsody were the front runners.
Yeah.
When,
I still can't believe that.
When months ago we were like, it's going to be First Man. And now it's...
The favorite.
It's interesting. Yeah. It keeps it fresh and interesting, I guess. But I'm also just like, if Beale Street Couldn't Talk wasn't nominated, what the fuck is this about?
Oh, you know, God. I honestly think, and I actually like Bohemian Rhapsody. I really did. But it does not deserve to be there.
Absolutely
it
not.
It does not.
No.
I am sorry.
It should not
it should be Beale
a,
Street.
It should
be
Beale
Street.
Best
That's ridiculous.
It should
and
be
And like you
Beale
said,
Street.
There's 10 spots.
Yeah.
Why isn't Beale Street number 9?
I know.
Or like,
even Spider-Verse.
Or
Spider-Verse.
Or like Widows. Because like, if you have 10 opportunities and about 500 films are coming out in a year, you're not going to tell me that there isn't a top 10 out of those 500 that deserve to be like recognized in that
sort
of way. I want to
know why they decide to cut it off on certain years. Is it like there's a huge gap between 8 and 9 in voting percentages?
Maybe.
Like, this one got 36%, but this one only got 15, so we're just going to cut it off there.
Like, I vaguely know. All I know is like when they vote, they have like this is my number one, this is my number two. So they number them, and then that's how they something. It's really confusing.
I don't understand the
But why like just do 10 straight? I don't
just
understand.
Just pick
that.
The top 10.
I hate that.
Just pick the top 10. Stupid. And it's not like other years where they might not have been as good quality films. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which even in a whole year, you can pick out 10 films that are really good quality.
True, yeah, you can.
It's not that hard. It's not like there's really not content being made all the time. There's so many, and like not even before Netflix and Hulu and blah blah whatever. Right. There's so many movies coming out every single year. There's so many movies at the film festivals, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's plenty of room.
I'm maybe because there's not one movie that I'm like super stoked about. I really enjoyed The Favorite, and I really enjoyed A Star Is Born in Roma. And I know I said this earlier, and I got looks from both of you, that I didn't feel that Black Panther was Best Picture worthy. And I think that's just...
I see what you're saying.
I think that's just coming from the history of there never being one like it.
I think more
But even a few years ago with Mad Max, I wasn't like, that was Best Picture worthy. I loved it, but I wasn't thinking that.
That was so crazy.
That was such an insane movie.
I think with Black Panther, it was a movement, and it would be a mistake to ignore it.
100%.
It's more that than anything
else. But then I also hate that I feel like that might be the only reason it's nominated.
And I mean, it's not the only reason, but it is a reason.
Yeah. So I've been playing back and forth, and I'm just very...
If it wasn't as good, we wouldn't have as many notes and a lot of things to say about it.
That's true. Right. And I'm not saying it's not a bad movie.
If it wasn't...
I loved it. I thought it was a great movie.
If it wasn't Best Picture worthy, we wouldn't have...
Conditioned to assume that these Best Picture nominees should be like art house fare and not make a lot of money at the box
office.
That's
what we've seen for the last 90 years.
And I think that's what
years.
I'm a little like attached to. Maybe. Is what I've gotten used to, and because I adore those movies.
Yeah.
Like, those are my jam. I love a Lady Bird, and I love a Call Me by Your Name, and I love a Roma, and the Favorite. Like, those movies are my favorite to go see. The Favorite.
How many favorite jokes are we going to make during these conversations?
Wait till we get there, okay?
Please. 600 million.
Plus.
But who's the favorite?
Me, duh.
Moving on.
It's Rachel Weisz in some pants.
That was a lot.
We will talk about this.
But yeah, we'll so I think there. I'm just kind of clinging to that idea. Yeah. And it's not that I don't like Black Panther and...
No, yeah.
But again, I didn't even think about there only being 8, but Beale Street Could Talk should be number 9. I don't understand that.
Beale Street Could Talk should be number 9, and I'm just going to throw it in. Their Widow should have been number 10. We have 10 spots.
If it was, I would have been so random because no one ever has ever talked about it.
No.
I know, but I'm thinking in terms of actual quality films.
That was a good movie.
Yes.
It really was. Also, like, this is the first time in a long time, I believe, that a lot of these Best Picture nominees are like a commercial success, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Stars Born made a bunch of money.
Bohemian Rhapsody
like slayed like a lot of money too. So Black Panther as
made
well.
A billion. So, yeah,
it's I think this is where we're seeing it change, like not just in the voting or the voting body, but just like the nominees as a whole. It's mm-hmm. changing, and we're seeing it here
because you're not going to be shut out of everything just because you have a certain appeal to a certain mm-hmm. audience.
Although
now you can, if you're a good movie, you're a good movie, period, for the most part.
Yeah.
Although like I was saying a minute ago, coming into this award season, we all thought First Man was going to be everywhere, and it was almost completely shut out.
We thought about there was going to be a First Man Beale Street like debate, like, and it never happened.
Yeah, it was like going to be 2017 all over again. La La Land and Moonlight, Beale Street, and
then
First
it was
Man.
Like Star Is Born's going to win everything, and then like hasn't won anything much up until now. Really,
it's going to be a Star Is Born song. First Man, conquering the award
and
season,
and then all of a sudden Roma gets the most nominations and The Favorite,
and they're not and. those movies that we thought were going to win everything haven't won anything.
Yeah.
Except for Best Song. And that's
so interesting. I think to me, that's what makes it interesting is we don't know what's going to happen. I love
although
that.
Although it frustrates me because I don't want the people that are winning are not the people I want to win. So it's like.
That is super frustrating.
Yeah, I will say. Yeah.
Even with La La Land, I don't think it was the greatest movie. It didn't deserve everything it got, but I love those people. So I'm not going to hate on them for receiving love. Like, I love Emma Stone and it wasn't her best work, but she's great and she deserves whatever she gets. And
It was a weird year. I think like
it was a weird year.
Who else would have won other than her that year? I don't even know anymore.
The French lady.
Is that her name?
No, it's not Lupita. Not Lupita Nyong'o.
Anyways, her. So I think what's interesting about the Green Book and Stars Born is usually the Best Picture has a better chance if they have a director nomination, but Green Book and Stars Born don't have their directors nominated.
I was really surprised that Bradley Cooper got shot out of that.
That's another one that I'm upset about. Too. Me too. Okay, because I was watching. I think it's Peter Travers that does the reviews, and he's been reviewing for like a billion years because he's old. And he was going through the nominations, and he was like, this person and that person, and Lady Gaga got nominated, but of course she didn't have any help or any direction from Bradley Cooper at all, because he's, you know, he's not a director or anything. And then he went on to talking about Sam Elliott did really great in Star is Born, but, you know, Bradley Cooper was not there on set talking to him or like fleshing out a story or anything. I was like, exactly, like, you need some direction.
We'll go more into that when we do the episode, but yeah.
Why would this director's list, and
if it wins, it'll be like an Argo situation where Argo won without Ben Affleck being nominated and everyone was like upset that he wasn't nominated.
Yeah,
it might be that sort of type of situation.
Yeah,
which is interesting because the other movie that won without a director is Driving Miss Daisy, which is also about racial relations and driving.
Oh, so it was really interesting. I'll save it for BlacKkKlansman.
So I was looking at the lead actress as well. All of those would be a first time winner.
Best actress?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So any one of those winning will be a first time winner.
That's
amazing.
Awesome.
I did go see Can You Ever Forgive Me? And I do understand why Melissa McCarthy is nominated. Yeah. I do.
What was that French movie we went and saw?
Oh no.
It's like right here and I can't.
Amour.
Amour, thank you.
That was a beautiful movie.
Oh yeah, you guys told me about that.
Luper, right? Is her last name? The daughter? She was the one you're talking about, right? She was in that movie.
Elizabeth Huppert?
No.
What's her first name?
She played in Amour, she played the daughter.
It's Isabelle Huppert.
Isabelle Huppert. I was like, it's a something I-E like that.
But no, I wanted to look and make and never mind. Keep talking while I figure out what I want.
So I guess I'm going to save my thoughts for Bohemian Rhapsody when we get there. So I'm just going to stop.
I do like that Melissa McCarthy and Richard E. Grant got in there because that movie was really good because of their acting relationship and because of their relationship on The Thing. Again, no females nominated for Best Director. Natalie Portman, she can present that award so she can say the same thing she said last year.
I asked the person whoever presents that, please say the exact same thing.
Please say the same thing. Because again, no women.
Whose name would you like to see up there?
I literally just watched the video of her, but she directed Can You Ever Forgive Me? Marianne. What?
No, what? Go ahead.
Marianne something. I was just watching her face.
Can You Ever Forgive Me? She directed that, right?
Yes, she did.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm blanking. It's okay.
My brain.
We like the silence.
Hello, dark. No, that's not the right one.
It just takes a while to get there.
Never mind. Wah, wah, wah.
So. What a weird award season.
Also,
it is.
Like, I know this isn't like a big award, but like visual effects, I really think Aquaman should have been there.
Honestly, yeah.
Because that movie is basically all CGI.
It's all underwater and you can't film underwater, so it's all fake. And it looked amazing.
And it was great. Like that scene where he goes into visually. Atlantis and you see like the Atlantis, and it's like fantastic.
Somebody was comparing it to Blade Runner, the one from last year. And I they never were like, saw that. And I haven't seen it either. I want to see it for the cinematography, but it was like,
yeah,
cinematography and visually, it looks a lot it like Aquaman.
Yeah.
Blade Runner looks a lot. And I was like,
yeah, Aquaman okay. was a lot better.
Is it all the right. same person?
No, oh, no, because know. The guy who did,
I don't know nothing about nothing.
Blade Runner is like a very well respected, super old cinematography guy super that's old. Been working for a million years.
Did you ever see Ready Player One, Anna?
I did.
Okay. I can totally see why this is visual effects because that the
oh yeah.
The what's that movie again that is scary? The Shining scene is so interesting and so good. Wow.
That movie
it was not the great movie, but like there,
No.
There
I
were bits and pieces
it.
Of it that were really good.
It was visually stimulating. Yeah. Like there was so much happening yeah. and there was so many Easter eggs.
Yeah.
And it's one of those that I feel like if I watched again tomorrow, story-wise, I wouldn't be super impressed again.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the story was interesting enough, but...
yeah.
But visually, I'd be like, oh, I didn't notice that last time, or wow, I didn't connect this and that, and I think that would be really fun.
I feel like its nomination is justified for sure.
Oh, 100%.
It was so, again, so yeah. interesting.
So different, too. Like, and I haven't seen that before.
Yeah, and that ballroom where they're all, like, dancing in the air.
Yes.
That shit is so cool.
Very cool.
Wow.
I did, however, watching it, I kept trying to, like, figure out, make connections
oh,
where
yeah.
connections mm-hmm. weren't there. And I kept thinking, oh, why is this kid so obsessed with this guy? And his parents had died. I was like, I bet that's his father. And that's why.
Oh,
and I was, like,
yeah.
trying to make connections where they weren't. And I was, at the end, I was a little disappointed. I was like, oh.
I think it's because you wanted it to be a better movie.
You were writing a better movie in your head.
You're a better writer than the writer of the movie.
Wow.
Call me Spielberg. I'm available. No, I'm not. Don't call me. I'm terrified.
No, she's available. Obviously, she made this movie.
Yeah,
better.
You have better ideas already, honey. Yeah. Just we're watching it. So once I'm telling you.
But it's based off of something, right?
It's based off
a
book.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, he didn't write.
Well,
the
I mean, he didn't write the
source material.
Author didn't write the script.
Yeah. I know, but I'm so. Saying it might not have been.
Oh, who knows? It could have been.
Yeah.
Adaptations are weird. Yeah. So do we have any other final thoughts on Black Panther?
I love Black Panther.
And Oscars as a whole?
It's going to be an interesting month.
I'm so hyped.
Oh my God. I know. I think after them winning the SAG Award yesterday, I think that does up their chances a little bit. Do I think it's going to break through?
I don't know.
I honestly don't know. Again, confusion.
I am confusion.
I don't think it will because the Academy is made up of more than just the actors, even though the actors are the greatest
the largest part of it.
Yeah.
But I was reading something that said it upped their chances a little, but it didn't make enough for it to change anything. But that the favorite to win was still Roma.
And yeah, I know. The words. Yeah. I've heard.
But then it's nominated for foreign film, so they might give that foreign. They might give Roma foreign film, and then
that's what I was looking up with
best
them
picture.
More.
You know what?
I
and
like,
I would be okay with that because I'm back on A Star Is Born train.
Are you?
Yeah. Damn it. I keep listening to the soundtrack, and it keeps like hitting me, and I'm just
you know my
I don't know what's gonna happen because I'm just so confused.
My favorite line of one of the songs is "I'm alone in my house." I feel that. I love that
because you were literally alone in your house.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean,
okay. Another person that got snubbed. Okay, If Beale Street Can Talk is not in Best Picture, but If Beale Street Can Talk is also not in Best Director.
Barry Jenkins, y'all. Like, what
Barry
is
Jenkins,
happening to the world? I don't understand.
Barry Jenkins has been shut out.
That's rude.
That's fucking rude.
That's so
first
rude.
Of all, how dare you? Second of all, I love him.
The way you said that just now.
Yes,
I love him.
I love him.
And he should have been nominated.
Yeah, I agree.
He should have been nominated.
Yeah,
also, like, you can't make a movie like Beale Street and not, you can't see watch that and not be moved. You must not have a heart.
Yeah, it was a beautiful movie.
Which makes me want it to win adapted screenplay just because.
Yes. It was so.
Well, you know what? Its award will be Regina King.
Bitch. Bitch,
yeah.
I'm ready.
That's what they'll have it.
Deserved.
She better. She 100%. Give it 100% to Regina King. I'm ready.
Sorry, guys.
I have the sparklers. I'm going to have to make it happen. I'm going to be cheering.
But you're going
to
watching it through the window
I was gonna
outside
say, I don't
the house.
Trust you in the house.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to do this in the house. I'm not going to start a fire before we move out.
I don't want to be on
the
news.
House made it up until the Oscars.
Which, oh my gosh, you guys, I was driving around in Colleyville, and there's a nail salon called Oscar's. And in the there's a little statuette.
Excuse me?
So I feel like before the Oscars, we have to go check it out.
Yes. I'm legit gonna ask off for Monday after the Oscars.
Do it.
I'm not kidding.
Do it.
I'm gonna freaking do it.
We're gonna party like it's 1999.
Yes. Yes?
1972 in Roma.
That way, because like, well, we'll talk about it, I guess, later. But yeah, so I'm excited for this Oscar.
And something.
It's okay.
I'm very excited.
I'm hype because I love not knowing what's going to happen. I love the suspense.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm panicking about the suspense because I know who I want to win and I have no
idea. Honestly, like
no idea.
I feel like my favorite one changes every day because I can't.
That's what I was saying. I was like, I'm on something else now. Like I
just watched Black Panther like Friday and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then I was revisiting Roma and I was doing my notes. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So honestly, I'm going to watch the other ones. The next one's a list and I'm going to be like, oh my God. So, I mean, I honestly don't know.
Flip a coin, guys. That is probably going to be easier.
Right. They're going to like close their eyes and point to one.
Honestly, that's how the voting is. That's how the awards have been going this season.
Whoever opens the envelope is going to decide then. Like it says, you choose.
That would be amazing.
Ooh, okay.
Hold on.
Since you're not excited about the you know, as a whole, are there any movie that you feel should have been here? That's not?
Anything with John Cho?
Other than Mill Street?
John Cho.
Oh, was he good in Searching?
He was great in Searching.
Lead actor, great?
Sure.
Yeah?
Throw him in there.
I mean, I think he's great, fantastic in whatever he does, so I'm biased. But
Henry Golding for his face?
Henry Golding.
An award for face.
There's one right here called
Lead Face.
Lead Sexiest Face, Henry Golding.
And John Cho.
And John Cho.
All the Asians.
Let's throw Jason Momoa in there too.
We'll throw Bradley Cooper in there.
Diego Luna. Oh my Bradley God. Cooper.
Stop it.
But only Bradley Cooper with like long hair and a beard like he had in the movie. Because
that's
I saw him.
Just for you.
I saw him without
Everybody
facial
else
hair.
Everybody enjoys him all the time.
I saw him without facial hair and I was like, no.
Although I do admit right now he kind of does have baby face with his short hair. And
yes.
The,
he looks. Like, he just looks baby. Like too young. And I'm like, I know you're 42, but you just look too young.
Well, speaking of too young, do you? How do you feel about your Timmy not getting recognized?
Oh, yeah, that movie got completely shut out, too.
Yeah, no there was
Timmy,
talk about that
no
before.
Steve Carell, no writing. I write in the air with a holographic
pen. Why do you write? Why is the paper way up here?
Because I'm tall, so the desk when I stand up is like right here.
Get out. You're done.
Get out. I'm well done. Year.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
This year, the jokes are favorite jokes.
Yeah.
It's our new sign off.
Yeah.
Bye.
Oh
my God, that's amazing.
I think it is time to call.
We're just yapping at this point.
We haven't seen each other for a while.
Yeah. So
yeah.
This is catching up time. Okay. So
yeah.
Bye.
Bye.